How do you feel when someone tells you what to do? How do you feel when someone tells you what to do? Does the back of your hair go up a little bit? Do you start to get a bit uneasy and questioning what their motives are? Maybe you're a little bit like me, you get a bit defensive. What are they telling me all about? This is a very complex and interesting question, especially in the time that we live in today. We're told at an early age by so many sources around us, you don't have to listen to what others say. Make your own choices. Don't let others tell you how to live. Find your own truth. Be free and live. Well, these statements just don't feel right for me, at least growing up up in the church, we wouldn't have listened to those kind of statements. But our passage this morning in Galatians starts by telling us what to do. But I say, Paul is telling us what to do, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Paul is telling us what to do. And at first glance, because we're all good Christians here this morning, because we all got nicely dressed, we say, of course we want to walk by the Spirit. Especially if you were here last week and we were drenched in our sweat outside and we learned about the poison fruit. Pastor Danny laid out so beautifully for us that in Galatians, where it started to talk about how harmful it was to walk in the flesh and how harmful that can be. Paul in Galatians doesn't mention every sin by name. He categorizes them, as Pastor Danny shared last week, sexual sins, religious sins, social sins, gluttonous sins. This morning we are going to explore the fruit that satisfies. There is such a difference between these two lists. One of these lists feeds our fleshly desires. I would call these sins. Sins that draw us away from the love of God and His ways. These vices or lifestyles rob us of living the life our Heavenly Father wants and desires for us today. And I believe these vices lead us to an unsatisfying life. A life of pain, of sorrow, and ultimately destruction. The second list represents a life that is led by the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Just such a difference in these two lists. And this morning I thought I'd bring up a little object lesson to kind of explain the poisonous fruits and the fruits that satisfies. Well, I got a Sour Patch. If you've ever had a Sour Patch, you know that first bite is very, very sour. And I won't take a whole one because I practiced yesterday and it took me a long time to chew it. But that first bite is sour. It doesn't taste good. There's something about it. Now, I know that I'm talking about myself and you might be sitting there, I love Sour Patches. Just go along with me. There's something about it that just, it wakes you up. There's something wrong in it for me. There's something that just, I don't like it. But the Jolly Rancher. Now again, I tried yesterday. I'm not even going to take it out of its package because it took me a long, long time to suck it down. And really, I tried to preach while I was doing it. And it sounded like I had rocks in my mouth. So I'm not going to even try it. But this morning, when I think of the Jolly Rancher, and I put it in my mouth, it's satisfying. It gives me a taste that relieves and brings moisture back into my mouth. And that's what I think here, what Paul is trying to get at. Paul's desire for the church of Galatia was that the character of Christ would be formed in them. So this morning, we are examining the satisfying fruits. We are going to explore a life at its best. Paul wants us to discover the abundant life Jesus promises us, the kind of life that will be satisfying not just for us, but it'll be satisfying for those around us as well. He calls them the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of hard religious work, not even the fruit of our careful, disciplined spiritual lives. They are the fruit of the Spirit. We cannot grow these characteristics on ourselves. It is the Spirit who grows them in us. One of my commentaries refers to them as nine graces. I love the word graces, the term grace. Grace is what Christ showed us when we sin. He forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I thought it was interesting this morning that Barney said that same verse, that in our sin, when we have accepted Him and we confess to Him, He is faithful to cleanse us, to make us completely clean from all unrighteousness. Grace is received from Jesus even though we don't deserve it. But He delights to give us grace. For our sin, He gives us forgiveness. For the abundant life, satisfying life, He gives us the Holy Spirit, my friends. By living out the fruit of the Spirit, others will be able to see Jesus in us. As the fruit of the Spirit grows, we will treat people differently than the world treats people, the way the world treats others. Others will see a difference in us. Another one of my commentaries divides these fruit into three different categories. The first three involves our attitude. The second group reflects our behavior. And finally, the third group reveals our reaction, our attitude. Love, joy, peace. Love here is not just talking about our love for God. It's also talking about our love and grace for others. Joy is so much more than our simple passing experiences or our outward circumstances. It is grounded in the hope that we have in God. When relationships are broken and there is conflict and bitterness, there is no joy. Joy is the result of healthy relationships. Relationships that are grounded in the light, love, and life of the triune God. Peace. Peace is restoring a correct attitude towards others. Instead of negativity, useless arguments, we decide to keep harmony and order in the relationships. Our attitude should be one of love, joy, and peace. Just think about those three words for just a moment. Love, joy, and peace. If we could live those out, could you imagine what a difference we would make to those around us? Having the right attitude can draw others into a relationship where you truly care for one another. Next, our behavior. Patience. I wish we could jump right over that one. Kindness and goodness. Patience is how we carry ourselves when people continually wrong us or irritate us. It's not showing frustration or anger. It's dealing with others as God deals with us, with wisdom, kindness, and understanding. And yes, patience. Kindness is how we treat one another in what we say and what we do for others. Goodness is often expressed in very similar ways as kindness. For example, this behavior causes people to do good for one another or to do good for others. Our behavior should show the fruit of patience, kindness, and goodness. A sweet spirit doing good towards others is a great way of expressing God's love. Finally, our reactions. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Faithfulness is staying with someone through the thick and thin of life. Loyal no matter the cost. And this is only possible with the Spirit growing and maturing in us that we can do this in our lives. Gentleness is the expression of humility. Gentle people are not conceited, prideful, arrogant. They don't get angry or hold grudges. Instead, they consider others better than themselves. Finally, self-control. Self-control refers to having command over the desires and passions of oneself. Being able to say no when we hear that little voice in our head saying, "You deserve this." Self-control refers to not giving in to our own desires. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is being led by the Spirit in such a way that we put others first. The Spirit gives us the strength to do this. I can't wait for the next 9 weeks as we dig deeply, deeply into these 9 terms and make them a part of our life. I just can't believe what a difference they make. Even in my study in the last 10 or 11 days of this topic about satisfying fruit, I wish I didn't hold grudges. I wish I didn't get mad. I wish that people wouldn't irritate me. If I can only turn it over and learn to relax and slow down, God can do so much through me. But so often, when we're told what to do, the back of our neck, our hair goes up, or we get defensive instead of really listening and trying to work these things out. This list of virtues paints a beautiful picture of what a person and relationship can be if it's built and nourished by the presence of the Spirit. No wonder Paul said, against such things, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is God living and working in and through us. This is the life of freedom and abundance, a life alive in the Spirit of God. The Spirit gives us what the law never could. Paul's teachings were always done in light of the history of salvation. That's why he says, against such things there is no law. Because he knew that in Christ and by the Holy Spirit, God was giving something even better than the law. God was giving himself, not a set of rules or laws to follow. In Christ and by the Spirit, God gives his very self. God gives his very self to you and I to help us in times where we just think we're up against it or the mountain is too high. We can call on the one who dwells within us to help us and to guide us and to be in us and to work through us to those around us. Paul also wrote this because he knew the Galatians needed to hear it. The Galatians, it seemed, were tempted to go backwards in salvation history, to go back from Spirit, where there's life, to the law. Paul strongly warns them not to do this. And we see this throughout the whole book of Galatians. Paul knew that the law leads to slavery. But he teaches to live by the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is to live a life of true freedom. Galatians 5:1 starts with, "Freedom, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." To go from the Spirit to the law is to go back, is to go from freedom back to slavery. Paul continues in verse 24 saying, "And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." Catch these words. "Who loved me and gave himself up for me." Paul is teaching us here that the Spirit changes everything. It is the fulfillment of a long-held promise that God would replace our hearts of stone, those things that chase after the flesh, with a heart of flesh, something that is soft, something that is moldable, because the Spirit is within us, changing us to be more loving, to be more kind, to be more self-controlled. When we are like this, we are more alive. We are more human. We are more Christ-like when we live by the Spirit. That's why Paul is so strong in his comparison in this chapter. These two lists in Galatians 5 are as different as night and day. Everything the Holy Spirit offers is full of life. It offers a life that is spiritually alive. The other list goes against everything God desires for us. It only leads to slavery and death. The list of good fruits is God, by the Holy Spirit, helping us to grow and to become more like Him. And if we allow the Spirit to flow in and through us, again, it's not on our own. And I'm going to say that a little later, and so I'm kind of jumping in. It's not on our own. We don't have to do this by ourselves. He is there to help us. So I say again, if we can put these nine principles, these nine fruit in our lives, can you just imagine the impact we can have on others? We are called to live lives that look beyond ourselves. And with the fruit of the Spirit ripening within us, this is a life that is at its ultimate. It's a gift. It's a gift to us by the Holy Spirit. So how does this work out in our lives? How do we make this real? Again, it's the Holy Spirit who forms Christ in us. And we see this in the fruit of the Spirit, where we share in Christ's character. And we see this in the pace, the Spirit desires for us to live by. Listen to what Paul says again. "If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with Him." The Spirit is the source of life, and He gives us purpose. If this is true, then He should have control of us and our lives. And He should control the pace of our lives because He knows what is best for us. Paul encourages us to keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit sets the pace. And that's why Paul tells us this. Paul knows what happens. He knows what happens when we run out on our own and we try to do things on our own. We only get ourselves into trouble. We fall victim to those fleshly desires, the things on the first list that draw us away from God and God's best. We pursue selfish ambitions and we'll walk over anybody we can to get them. We rush around trying to make things happen and miss what God is already doing around us. don't like this one very much. We scurry around trying to ensure our security and miss hearing the voice of love. By going too slow or moving too fast, we get out of sync with what the Spirit is trying to do in and through our lives. A life not in step with the Spirit leads to an unsatisfying life because it ignores the divine wisdom, love, and guidance God desires for us through the Holy Spirit. An unsatisfying life is what the Heavenly Father doesn't want for us. And that is why Paul here is trying to protect us. He's trying to protect us from living this kind of life because it only leads to destruction. That Sour Patch candy right away didn't taste that well. It really wakes you up. If I dabble in a little bit more and kind of suck it down and get rid of that beginning, all of a sudden that candy tastes not too bad. And I wonder if that's like sin is. It doesn't taste well. We got the guilt in us and our stomach and our heart, and we know, but all of a sudden we just keep dabbling and dabbling it in it, and we get ourselves into trouble. And this is why Paul is telling us and encouraging us, you don't want to go down that road. You don't want to give in to your flesh. There's so much more that our Heavenly Father is offering us through the Spirit that can live in you and flow through you to make difference in other people's lives. If we allow the Spirit to lead us, His fruit will grow in us. And again, it doesn't matter how hard we try or how hard we work. The fruit will not grow any faster. It's only when we submit and keep in step with the Spirit's leading does love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control grow in us. Jan Moltmann, in his book, The Source of Life, says, works are made, but a fruit grows. We cannot make the fruit of the Spirit, nor can we learn it. We have to wait expectantly for it and let it grow. And as the fruit ripens on a tree, what becomes real and visible in our lives as the fruit of the Spirit doesn't come from us. It comes from the Spirit in and through us. When we keep in step with the Spirit, we will always be led to Jesus. So this morning, there's no better practice that we can do right now and then allow the Spirit to lead us to the communion table. For at the communion table, we discover the fruit of the Spirit, what it really is, what it's meant to mean to walk in the Spirit because of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, I want to invite the elders and those that are going to serve, and we will come around the table this morning.